The Spectator magazine combines incisive political analysis with books and arts reviews of unrivaled authority. Subscribe today for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online, plus a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. The Foreign Secretary, Dominic Raab, joined Andrew Marr this morning and the first item on the agenda was the rollout of the COVID vaccine. Marr asked Raab if there was any truth to the rumours that all adults could be vaccinated as early as June.
Well, the plan, as you know, is, and we're making good progress, we've had 3.5 million people administer their first dose. The rate, the daily rate, is up to over 300,000 on the latest figures. And the plan is to get the first 15 million most vulnerable people vaccinated with the first dose by the middle of February. We then want to get by early spring another 17 million. At that point, we'll have 99% of those most at risk of dying of coronavirus administered their first jab. And then the adult population, the entire adult population, we want to have been offered a first jab by September. That's the roadmap.
So the answer is no, basically. It won't be done by June, it'll be done by September.
Well, what I was just going to say is that's the roadmap. We think we've got the capacity to deliver it. Obviously, if it can be done more swiftly than that, then that's a bonus. The number one thing right now is to protect that roadmap and that rollout and protect the NHS, given the new variants and the transmission rates we've seen.
Raab had the following to say on when the national lockdown might be lifted.
I think it's true to say that when we get to a situation in the early spring, perhaps March, if we've succeeded in hitting those targets and we've made good progress so far, we can start to think about the phased transition out of the national lockdown. I think it's fair to say it won't be a big bang, if you like. It will be done phased, possibly back through the tiered approach that we had before. But the number one thing we want everyone to focus on now is, first of all, protecting the vaccine rollout. Secondly, the NHS is under huge pressure. Follow the guidance. Everyone watching the show should follow the guidance. Stay at home, with the exception of the limited exceptions that have been set out, so that we protect the NHS through what is still going to be very difficult series of weeks.
But if we follow those rules, possibly restrictions beginning to be lifted in March.
Well, we've said by spring, by early spring. So we've got the roadmap. I've set it out quite clearly, the targets, the milestones. I don't want to get ahead of that. What we're going to focus on now is delivering.
Marr went on to raise the issue of whether the UK should consider entering trade negotiations with China when the Chinese government has been systematically oppressing the Uyghur Muslims in the country's northwest.
The Board of Deputies of British Jews is comparing what's been happening to the Uyghurs in China to the Holocaust, and there is a vote in the House of Commons tomorrow about whether or not British courts should have the right to declare foreign countries guilty of genocide and therefore refuse trade deals. Now, presumably, as an international lawyer, you will be in favour of that change. You want Britain to be acting by herself on these big issues, working with the United States and other countries, but with her own voice. Is it not the case that it's important that Britain has the right to declare other countries guilty of genocide?
Look, I tell you, as a son of a refugee from the Holocaust, I couldn't be more moved and support the spirit of what is being proposed. That's why we took measures this week on Xinjiang and to prevent the UK businesses supporting or benefiting from or feeding into the supply chains in Xinjiang and the awful reports we've got of forced labour, slave labour effectively, forced sterilisation, appalling human rights abuses. Whether or not it amounts to genocide has to be determined by a court. And of course, the bar is being set incredibly high. I mean, frankly, we shouldn't be engaged in free trade negotiations with countries abusing human rights well below the level of genocide. I think there is an issue, a challenge, a practical, workable question is whether the High Court in this country, as opposed to a criminal court, has the investigative capacity to actually determine the facts on the ground. But actually, in terms of, and I think there's a second issue, which is really in relation to what we now know about what's going on in Xinjiang, the question is whether in relation to any country that engage in those human rights abuses, you engage in free trade negotiations. That's what the Alton Amendment is all about. And that is really about Parliament holding the government to account. And that's the relationship, rather than have the courts do it. Courts can determine genocide. I think a British court, certainly the High Court in this country, wouldn't have the investigative capacity to do that. But that shouldn't, we shouldn't really be delegating the political question of who you engage in free trade negotiations to the courts. That's something that MPs should hold the government to account about, and we absolutely embrace that.
Marr went on to interview Sir Simon Stevens, the head of NHS England, who did not have the rosiest of reports from the NHS front line.
Speaking for staff across the health service, not just here in London, I think the facts are very clear and I'm not going to sugarcoat them. Hospitals are under extreme pressure and staff are under extreme pressure. Since Christmas Day, we've seen another 15,000 increase in the inpatients in hospitals across England. That's the equivalent of filling 30 hospitals full of coronavirus patients. And staggeringly, every 30 seconds across England, another patient is being admitted to hospital with coronavirus. So that means, for example, that between now and lunchtime, this hospital would be full of new coronavirus patients. And we're seeing that not just in London and the South East, where this new variant obviously first let rip, but that is spreading into other parts of the country as well. The East of England, the Midlands, and the North West. Merseyside is now right back under the cosh.
Straight question, has the NHS ever been in a more precarious situation?
No, I think this is a unique event in our 72-year history. It's sort of become glib to talk about this as the worst pandemic in a century, but that is clearly correct. We have got three quarters more COVID inpatients now than we had in the April peak. And although we are, as I say, seeing some promising signs of the steadying of the infection rates, the fact is that they are still far too high, and in some parts of the country and amongst some age groups, they are still rising.
Sophie Ridge's prize guest of the day was James Comey, the former director of the FBI. Comey, who was unceremoniously fired by Trump in 2017, did not pull the punches he aimed at his former boss.
Why do you think there is this problem with trust and even truth in politics, and how do you fix it?
Well, the greatest fear of the founders of the United States was that a demagogue would take the presidency and use the power of lies. And lies work. And there are tens of millions of good, ordinary people in the United States who believe lies they've been told about the virus, about the election, about our institutions. They believe it because they've been told these lies over and over and over again by the President of the United States and his echo chambers and his enablers. And so the reason it's important to talk about truth is to try to not accept that and to push back against that and look to find a way to lure those millions of people out of that fog of lies. That's one of the central challenges for this next president. That's why I think we have to talk about it. Donald Trump aimed not just to lie to people, but really to destroy the notion that truth exists, that we can't know things. And we have to reject that and speak about it constantly if we're going to be a healthy country.
You're obviously a strong critic of Donald Trump. He's only got a few more days in office, but would you like to see him impeached?
I would. I think there has to be historic sanction for this behavior. It's a close question as to whether he should be prosecuted after he leaves office. I am actually of the view that the country would be better off if we didn't give him the platform that a prosecution would for the next 3 years, instead turn off the camera lights, but that reasonable people can see that differently. I don't think anybody can disagree. There has to be the letter I tattooed on him again. And ideally, I'd like to see him convicted by our US Senate and barred from ever holding public office again.
Tomorrow, Labour will organise a debate in the House of Commons calling on the government to extend its temporary £20 increase in the rate of universal credit. It has been reported that the Chancellor, Rishi Sunak, has been looking at a £500 one-off payment in its place. The Shadow Work and Pensions Secretary, Jonathan Reynolds, put Labour's case against this idea.
In April, the £20 a week boost to universal credit is due to end. Rishi Sunak, the Chancellor, wants to give families a £500 one-off payment instead. Is that enough?
No, I mean, I'm glad you've raised that because that is, quite frankly, a terrible policy. First of all, if you go ahead with this cut, you are reducing out-of-work support unemployment benefits to their lowest real terms level since 1992 at a time when unemployment is about to peak. But of course, the reason a one-off payment is a bad policy is, whilst we're talking about 6 million families being affected, those families will change throughout the year. Some will go back into work, some will come out. We've had at times of the pandemic 200,000 new claimants coming onto the system in a single month. So a one-off payment, a snapshot, completely fails to support those people. There is simply no reason that this cut should take place in April. It's the wrong thing for families. I mean, £1,000 a year is like your gas, your electric, your broadband bill, all rolled in together. But it's also the wrong thing for the economy. That is £6 billion of spending being taken out of the economy at a time when we need it the most, frankly. So the priority for us is to secure the economy, protect the NHS, and then rebuild the country. And to do that, Parliament has to do the right thing tomorrow.
And finally, Marr spoke to the leader of the Liberal Democrats, Sir Ed Davey, about why his party activists were still out and about during the pandemic.
So we're in the middle, of the eye of the storm of this terribly dangerous pandemic. Do you think parties should be leafleting door to door during this?
Yes, as long as it's compliant. If it's compliant with the guidance, absolutely. The guidance is clear.
I'm not sure it is compliant with the guidance. The guidance is stay at home unless it's really necessary. Wandering from door to door to door, giving people Lib Dem leaflets is not hardly a national priority. With respect,
the guidance says there's an exemption for volunteer organisations. We've taken legal advice of that. And the advice we've given to all our councillors and volunteers is they need to wear a mask, they need to socially distance, they need to sanitise their hands. We're taking all the sorts of precautions that Amazon takes, that Royal Mail takes. And I'll tell you why it's so important that we do reach out to communities. Liberal Democrat councillors and community activists have always been a key part of helping people. At the beginning of the pandemic, I set up the Liberal Democrat Community COVID Task Force to encourage people to phone people who were isolated, to encourage them to volunteer.
And going door to door is something very different. Both the Labour Party and the Conservative Party have said this is not appropriate at the moment. The Lib Dems carry on doing it. Couldn't you tell people to stop?
It's interesting you say that about the Conservative and Labour Party. They are delivering leaflets too. We've got leaflets from Conservative activists, leaflets from Labour activists that have been delivered in very recent days. So I'm afraid the Conservative and Labour Party need to get their own house in order. And I believe that as long as you're a helping community, you're giving people advice, telling them where they can get tested, where they can find the latest government advice, that is the sort of thing that actually, if you're trying to help local people, you should be doing.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffeehouse Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/Evening Blend. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.